Today, what I want to do is enter into this text. It's Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 8, all the way through chapter 18. And again, what I would like to say to you is we don't necessarily go through the entire passages here online, but if you have a Bible and want to read these passages as we go through them, then by all means do, because I think that's how you're going to get the most out of our study of Braving Belief, okay? Bryn did a great job, and I probably should have just had her preach, but she's home with Haley, and they're celebrating Mother's Day and watching this, so love you all. I'll see you in a minute. But let's just take three observations from our text. Three observations. First, even Moses needed help from others to secure the victory against Amalek. Even Moses needed help. Now you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, what I'm saying is, this is the guy who just led the people out of Egypt. Okay, but here, what we're finding is that this text, this Exodus 17, 8 through 13, that Bryn just read, this text shows us a foreshadowing of what is to come. That Moses needs help. Okay, we'll talk about this one packet. Second, even Moses needed some wise counsel to help him understand that leading alone was not good. And this comes in Exodus 18, 13 through 17. Now, what happens so obviously I've skipped like an entire portion of scripture. Well, what happens is we find out that Moses sent his wife and sons to live with Jethro as he helped the people get out of Egypt. And Jethro, now his father-in-law, remember, is bringing them back. And what the Bible does is it kind of goes out of its way, if you will. The narrative goes out of its way to show the relationship that Jethro and Moses have with each other. And it's a very respectful relationship. And so, chapter 18, 1 through 12, really does show the great care and admiration that Jethro has for Moses, but also that Moses has for Jethro. But that brings us then to our second point, that Moses needed some wise counsel, and that came in the form of Jethro. And then third, Moses listened to the wise counsel so that his demanding calling would not be too heavy for him. And this is in Exodus 18, 18 through 23. All right, so let's unpack this and kind of see what the text is doing. So in Exodus 17, 11 and 12, we get this, which Bryn read for us. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So his hands grew weary, but with help from Aaron and Hur, the people that he surrounded himself with, his hands became steady and allowed them to win the victory. So the principle that we take out of this passage of scripture is that the battle can make us weary, but steady help comes from friends who care about the victory, right? They were all in this together. And boy, we've been saying that a lot, haven't we? We're all in this together. And the battle can make us weary, but steady help comes from friends who care about the victory. That's principle number one. Next, we go to Exodus 18, 13 through 17. We read that. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses. I love that. What I want you to picture is someone who is surrounded by a large group of people, but doesn't necessarily feel connected to them. Okay? The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" I don't know if you've ever felt surrounded by people but not connected to any of them. What we see here in this text is that Moses is surrounded by his people, but has an experience of isolation and loneliness. Jethro sees this. Let's keep reading. Moses' response to his father-in-law is this: "Because the people come to me to inquire of God, when they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Now, let's just pause here, and let's understand what it is that Moses is doing. He is doing something extremely important. Now, when people inquire what God wants from them, what God needs from them, they come to Moses. Moses decides what needs to happen, and by doing so, he teaches them the statutes of God. He teaches them the law. He teaches them how to behave. Now, that all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But look at Moses' father-in-law's response. It's right here. He says, "What you are doing is not good." Excuse me? Is not teaching the statutes and laws of God, is that not good? Is not settling disputes, is that not good? That's not what Jethro is saying. Jethro is saying that all this work that you are doing alone, remember, let's go back. All of this stuff that you are doing alone is not good. So our principle here is that good work can burn us out. But wise advice comes from friends who care about our spiritual and emotional health. And that creates a better good. Okay? And so some of you are very task-oriented people, and you want to do and do and do and do. And then eventually what you find out or you feel inside of yourself is, I don't feel very appreciated. I don't feel very, and what you're really saying is, I haven't taken the time to actually connect to the people that I'm serving, to the people I'm serving with, to the people who are helping me serve. And what do we feel? Well, we feel spiritually and emotionally drained. And that's why Jethro looks at Moses and says, this isn't good. So that's observation number two. Now, observation number three. This comes from Exodus 18. We're going to start in verse 17, which we've read the first part of, and go to 23. Moses' father-in-law said to him, What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Brothers and sisters, if you have a Bible out right now, circle this verse 18, the second half of it. The thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice, Jethro says, and I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and laws. So again, what's he saying? He's saying, look, the work that you're doing is really good. But it's not doing good for your heart and your spirit. So you shall warn them about the statutes and laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. Now that's important, because when you have people to bear the burden with you, what does that do? That takes some of the load off of you and puts it on us. And when we bear the burden, then we're working together. And that becomes extremely important. And we feel, listen, connected to others. Okay? Connected to others. If you do this, Jethro says, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure. And all this people also will go to their place in peace. If there's two things that we need right now, it's a sense of endurance or perseverance and a sense of peace. And I love this because, look, Moses is in the thick of it here. Remember, life isn't the same as it was. They are in the wilderness. They've just been attacked by Amalek. And yes, they defeated him, but man, it was a battle. And I think the Bible even says this will continue to happen. And so what does Moses need? He needs endurance and peace. And where does Jethro say he can find that? By spreading out the burden of leadership on other folks. This brings us to our third principle. The importance of our heavy responsibilities needs shared. And sharing them with others will allow for endurance and peace. And so, three principles from our text. And what we find is that we get in trouble when we have that "I got this" independence. We might say things like this: I keep fighting the same battles, and I feel exhausted and worn out. Where is my victory, God? Where's my victory in this? I just don't feel it. I don't sense it. I feel like I get up every morning and I'm exhausted. What's happening? Or we might say it this way: I love people and I do so many good things. I just wish for one split second it didn't feel so lonely. See, if you're out there working and working and working and doing good things, but you're feeling lonely, then maybe we're missing the reason why we do good things. To connect with people. To love them. And love doesn't necessarily mean giving them something. But love is a connection. Maybe trouble looks like this: no matter what I do, I feel like I'm sinking, and there is too much to do and not enough time to do it. Man, have you ever heard that one? Have you ever heard that one coming from your own mouth? I am swamped here. There's too much to do. I don't have enough time to do anything. This is that independence, that I got this mentality. And that needs shifted. Because the salvation in our text comes from teamwork. It comes from saying, we got this. We got this. Okay? And so here's the attitude shift that happens. I need help from others to secure victory over my hurts, hang-ups, and habits. You know, I find it interesting in this text. They just had a great victory. Remember, Moses raised up his staff and split the Red Sea, as Bren talked about, and they walked across on dry land. It was a great victory. And what I want to say when we're talking about our hurts and our hang-ups and our habits is there's some victories that, yes, we can handle kind of ourselves. But then there's the next victory, the next thing that we have to handle. And that one may be longer. It may be more intense. And sometimes, in fact, all the time, we need somebody to come alongside of us and carry it with us. And can I get a virtual amen, Sherry Lloyd? Can I get a virtual amen from some of you? Yes? Because the do-it-alone mentality does not work when the battle is long and the battle is fierce. And so I need help from others to secure the victory. I need wise counsel to help me understand that trying to do it alone is not good. Not good. Wise counsel that helps me understand that trying to do it alone is not good. Now, what I want you to hear is the things that you are doing are absolutely good. The toll it's taking on your heart and your soul and your mind is not good. Third, I will listen to the wise counsel so that my purpose or my calling will not be too heavy for me. You know, I find that a lot of times when I'm distracted, it's because I'm doing too much, not too little. I find that I'm being reactionary to what's being thrown at me instead of being discerning about where I need to work and where I need to go and what it is that I need to do. What I'm saying is sometimes when I feel that my calling is messed up and my purpose isn't right, it usually has more to do with how I'm handling things than really what God has asked me to do or what even my job demands of me. Do y'all ever feel that? I put this up because I did a quick Google search about different areas of our lives. And I settled on 8. There's lots of different ones. Thanks, Sherry. Fine. There it is. But I want you to think about the areas of your life. Look, health, your spiritual life, relationships. That could be parenting, marital relationships, dating relationships, relationships in your family, friends, your free time. Personal growth, your business and career, financial, and your contribution. Can I just ask you a very personal question? How much of this do you actually do alone without the counsel of people that you trust? I mean, when it comes to your free time, how often do you take free time alone versus wanting to spend your free time with people you love and people you want to be with? Your spiritual life, how many people have poured into that? And I guess when you think about it, what I find are these principles become really important to us living the life that we want and that God wants for us. And so there's a threat. The threat is burnout. The threat is overworked. The threat is exhaustion. How do we overcome that? Number one, surround yourself with companions who will look out for you. Number two, seek wise counsel from compadres who can discern what is good for you and what isn't good for you. Number three, submit to wise counsel from confidants who freely, submit to the wise counsel from confidants to freely live your purpose and calling. So surround, seek, and submit. That's how we overcome the threat of burnout. I want you to know that braving the wilderness requires a great team. And I am absolutely 100% thankful for the team that surrounds me, for the shared leadership of this church, for family and friends who love me and take care of me and aren't afraid to speak truth into my life. And brothers and sisters, if you do not have that, then I pray that you seek it out. Because when we are in the wilderness, it takes teamwork.